Well, it's good to see our entire church together at one time, isn't it? Amen. Look around you. This is great. We have both of our campuses together this evening. This doesn't happen very often. And in fact, I think this is really the first time this year I can say that I've seen the majority of our Beachside campus and most of our Palm Bay campus all together at one time. It's good to see everyone this evening. I am so doped up on sinus medicine. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth tonight. So I'm on like 9 different meds. It just does. I've been a never-ending cycle for 2 months now. It's been a great day already at the Clem household. Catherine is going out of town tomorrow. Her parents are having their 50th wedding anniversary, and so after our morning service. We are having church, by the way, tomorrow morning, and we're having a lot of stuff for the kids, and it's going to be a great time. But we decided to start opening gifts this afternoon because, you know, it's going to be busy tomorrow. And so I decided to throw up a picture. Yeah. So I bought a present for my wife. You know what I like about Christmas? One of the things I like about Christmas is the intentionality behind Christmas, right? I mean, you look around and you see the yards are decorated, especially like in Lotmar Lights and a Lotmar neighborhood, how everyone just goes that extra mile to make their yards look really nice, and they put the lights up just so. I mean, every community has that one citizen that his yard looks like they just kind of like regurgitated onto it or something, lights. But for the most part, everybody takes it really serious to be very intentional and purposeful in making their yards look good. And we decorate our trees and we put everything just so. And then there's the shopping, right? The gift shopping. And so you'll notice I got my wife some Christmas bling, right? There, the necklace that was from this afternoon. She doesn't know that this picture's up here, by the way. Okay, but I got serious brownie points today because this necklace matches a set of diamonds. This diamond necklace matches a set of diamond earrings and a diamond ring that I have bought her over the last 2 years. And so I have been systematically buying her jewelry that matches. Yeah, you know? That is not a fake smile. I've been married for 27 years. I'm telling you, that is a genuine smile from my wife. She is happy. I got a nice big hug for that one, right? Let me tell you, that was the good stuff right there. That's the thing about Christmas, and I think it's good. It's fitting that we're intentional in how we shop, right? And we go out and we find those certain gifts that our kids go. Of course, they make it easy on us, right? I have one son, I won't say which one, but he gave us a list in October that had his, you know, the 1st of October, that had his gifts, all 527 ideas. So it's not real hard for him, but it's good that we go out and we search for those special gifts that we want to say to that person, those people in our lives, that they are important to us, that we love them, that they're special to us, that they're family, all right? That they're precious to us, and we give them something precious. It's fitting that we're intentional in how we shop and we decorate, because honestly, folks, the first Advent, that word Advent means coming. It means arrival, the coming, the advent of Jesus Christ, that first one 2,000 years ago. With Jesus, a little more than 2,000 years ago. And the future advent, that second coming of Jesus Christ when he returns. All of these comings, the first, the second, they happen because of the intentional, purposeful design of our Heavenly Father. They weren't accidental, they were intentional. And for the last 4 weeks in our church, we've been recapturing the emphasis that the early church, the ancient church, made upon Advent. And we're concluding it this evening on Christmas Eve. We've had 4 messages already. This is the 5th in what we call the Advent season. And I've really enjoyed the intentional nature of this particular Advent season, since we're so intentional with many other aspects of Advent. the gift buying, the decorating, the cooking that we're going to do, and all the other ways that we celebrate the first Advent and the coming of Christ. I'm glad that we as a church have been intentional at looking at the second Advent, the second coming of Christ this year, as we look forward to seeing it happen one day. So there's been a different emphasis for us as a church. And you normally don't come to a Christmas Eve service and even hear or talk about the second Advent. It's all about the first Advent. In this series, we've given you an image, a bridge image. Almost every week, we've brought up this image of the bridge, of the Golden Gate Bridge. I promise there's only water in here. No spiked eggnog, anything like that. You look at this bridge, right? And it's helped us to understand the first and the second Advent. Those two towers, the first tower, the first Advent of Christ, that far tower, that second Advent of Christ that reflects that future hope. And the fact that right now we live in between that first tower and that second tower, waiting, looking for his return. A place that can be very scary, it can be uncertain. We can get impatient. We can wonder, when is he going to return? We can have all kinds of questions, but nevertheless, this is where we find ourselves, between these two Advents. But when you look at that bridge, here's what you know. Somebody built this bridge for a reason, right? It's not a bridge to nowhere. There is literally what they call a bridge to nowhere. It's in Southern California, and I looked it up, and there is a bridge to nowhere. It started in the early 1930s, and they started building the bridge before they were building the rest of the road. They got the bridge built, and then because of different reasons, the road never got built. And so there's a bridge in Southern California to nowhere. But even it had a purpose originally. You know there was a purpose, intentionality behind this bridge. It was to connect the people of San Francisco with Marin County. And that tells us, and there's a good analogy there, because when you look at that bridge and you compare it to what God has done in human history, redemptive history, including the first Advent and the second coming that we look toward to, we know there's intentionality, there's purpose. And just as we see this intentionality and this creative purpose behind the building of the Golden Gate Bridge, we know that there is intentionality and purpose behind the first and the second Advent of Christ. And this passage reflects that. Let's look at the second Advent first, because the passage does. In the second Advent, this passage tells us that Jesus is going to intentionally, purposefully, restore God's creation. It's what we have to look forward to. It says in verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Literally, that the whole of creation has been throbbing with pain, suffering with agony. And this afternoon, as we were opening presents, there was a point there, and all the joy and all the excitement of opening presents, and it is fun, isn't it? Especially when your kids are opening presents. I love that. Or when your wife, when you know that your wife is about to open a necklace box that you bought back in March, right? And then forgot that you bought it. So you went out and also bought her a laptop. And then you remembered. So she had a really good Christmas this year, right? Because she forgot about it. How did I forget about that, you know? But hey, good for her, right? I'm 50, right? I guess that's what's happening now. I'm losing those types of things. But the excitement that people have, but there was a point this afternoon, there was a bittersweet moment this afternoon. As my boys were opening their present, the thought that flashed through my mind was this: I wish my mom and dad were here to see this right now. Right? And those of you who have any amount of years on you at all, you know that Christmas time, with all the joy and all the fun and all the goodness that's a part of Christmas, there is at least some time of bittersweetness. Because we remember that not everyone is here with us that we would like to have with us. they've passed away. Christmas can be a time of great joy, but it brings moments of sadness. And we miss those who have left us because of death. And the reason why death has happened and disease happens in this world and all the natural disasters and the horrible things that we see is because of that little word, sin. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And so therefore, for millennia, creation has been throbbing with pain, sighing with agony. For thousands of years, saying, this is not the way it was supposed to be. This is not the way the world was created to be. When is the pain going to end? The whole creation groans. In the early church, they understood this, and they understood how important it was for us as God's children to keep a hold of this truth. And the first Advent is the perfect time to be reminded that the brokenness of this world, the groaning of this creation, it comes about because of sin. One day, it's going to be restored. One day, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to restore God's creation back to the way it was supposed to be before sin entered into the world. Earlier, before these verses in Romans 8, we read this, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. That day is coming, the second Advent. However, that future great day of revelation and restoration, it could never have happened. Second Advent can never have happened if the first Advent had not occurred. So it's fitting that this year we celebrate both Advents, that we look forward to the second Advent, as we've done for 4 days, for 4 weeks. And it's fitting that tonight we look back with gratitude and thankfulness for the first coming of Jesus Christ. In that second coming, Jesus is going to restore creation. But in the first coming, Jesus restored God's people. And this text hits on this too. He says, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, God's people, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, last three words are important, we were saved. We were saved. By taking on flesh and being born as a human baby, Jesus, God the Son, he stepped into time and history to restore us. Early last week, I was out with a friend of mine fishing, and he had another guy with him who I'd never met before, and he did not know me from Adam's house cap. And we got to talking about different things, and the topic of Christmas came up. And he, out of the blue, turned to me and said, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I haven't been to church in like 35 years or longer. He said, do you have any idea what Christmas is even about? I think, Bill, I can help you with that, was my answer, right? Right. You know, we started this series with a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. Let's end it with a different type of bridge. For some of you, this is a great reminder about why we celebrate the first Advent. And for others of you, maybe this answers for you. Well, why do we even do Christmas? Because you're here with a family member, you're from our community, and you decided you wanted to see what Christmas is about for a bunch of Christians. You know, this text tells us that creation is groaning because of sin, but the truth is, so is humanity. There is a gulf, a divide between us and God himself, and it's hard to make out. There's a man on top of that divide on the one side. And the Bible tells us that because of our sinfulness, we're divided. You know, there's a song, a Christmas song, right? Santa Claus is coming to town. me. Ready? No, I'm not going to sing it. All right. But you know the lyrics to it, right? Santa Claus is coming to town. Better not cry, you better not shout, you better not pout. Why? Santa Claus. So be what? Good for goodness sake. And I told Bill, you know, Bill, here's the problem. That's impossible. It's impossible. For humanity, we cannot be good. We're fallen. Bible says there's no one who's good. No, not one. And he said, well, wait a second. And he was, yeah, I get it. Yeah, just like you said, I'm not a criminal. But be good for goodness sake. No, even the good, the Bible says, that we try to do in our natural state isn't for goodness sakes. The things that we do that are good, we do it for ulterior reasons, for ourselves, because we get something out of it. It's not because we are inherently good. It's because there's a payday at the end of that good thing. So none of us are born into this world being good for goodness's sake, which isn't how the song was intended, but you get the point, all right? And it's because of this, there's this huge gap between us and God. The Bible starts with that. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, this is how the story starts. And right there, if the story ends, it's bad news because none of us have any hope. But here's where the good news kicks in. God, the Bible tells us, is rich in mercy and love. And while he is rich in mercy and love, he demonstrated that love towards us. And that while we're still sinners, Christ came. He stepped into human history. He was born of a human. He was born with a human nature. Even though he was perfectly God, he was perfectly human. And he lived that perfect life that all of us were supposed to live as covenanted with God in the Garden of Eden. And because he lived that perfect life, he bridges that gulf between us and God. The most important bridge in human history is not the Golden Gate Bridge. It's the bridge of Jesus that is established so that humanity can be restored to God. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And this was all intentional. All intentional. The whole reason why Jesus came, and I love that cartoon. We're actually going to do some stuff off that tomorrow in the service with the three wise men and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot there. But that whole scene was God's plan down to the nth degree. It's all intentional, all purposeful. Why? Because if Jesus didn't come, born of a human, he could not represent humanity. He could not stand in the place of humanity and live the life that you're supposed to live and that I'm supposed to live. That perfect life that perfectly, absolutely obeys the law of God. That's the onus upon all of humanity if we want to have a relationship with God. And every one of us fails. But Jesus, out of God's mercy and grace, comes. He lives that life that we were to live. And then he dies the death that our sins require so that the bridge could be established, the gulf could be bridged and we could be restored in relationship with God. There's a passage in Acts chapter 2. I love the passage. It's right after Jesus has been resurrected and he's ascended to the right hand of God, and Peter is preaching to the very people who crucified Jesus. And he said, "You men of Israel, what you did because this was the definite preordained plan of God." It was all God's intentional, purposeful plan that Jesus be born in a stable, cave, whatever, so that we could be restored to God. So this leaves us with this final image. Each and every one of us here this evening, I would ask you to consider, on what side of this bridge are you on? Are you still separated from God because you've never turned your life over to Jesus Christ and trusted in him as your Lord and Savior? Do you still see yourself as someone who is good enough to earn your way into God's glory and to his heaven? Or are you willing to confess, "No, I'm not good for goodness' sake. I need Jesus." For some of you, this is maybe the first time you've ever even heard this tonight. This is maybe you're going, "Huh?" If that's you, but you want to know more, I want you to know something. That one of the greatest pleasures that I have as a pastor is meeting with people who've never heard this before over lunch or over wings or whatever, and talking more about it. And if you want to know more, at the end of the service, say, "Hey, Jerry, introduce yourself, and we'll set up an appointment, and I'll talk to you more about what this is all about." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to look at this intentional plan that was created before the foundation of the world so that we might be restored to our Heavenly Father. We worship you and we say thank you this Advent season for coming, for giving your life ultimately on Calvary's cross, standing in our place so that we could be reconciled and restored to our Heavenly Father. For those of us who have trusted in you, who follow you, we worship you this evening. And for those who may be here tonight who don't know you yet as Lord and Savior, I ask that maybe even tonight a seed of question, a seed of inquiry would be planted in their heart, and that you would begin to do a work that would ultimately result in them trusting in you as the bridge between where they are and where they need to be. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.